Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, and happy new year. It is January 1st, 2020. It's 2020. What an amazing moment, really, when you think about it. It's pretty darn awesome. Even on a Gregorian calendar, what I'm looking for right now is the calendar date for the Hebrew calendar and when 5780 will actually become a reality. So I'm going to do a little bit further research on that and get you the exact date for 5780, when in the Hebrew calendar things will change. However, today is 2020, and we wake up this morning and the news is, well, you know what the news is. The news is that the embassy in Iraq has been invaded, literally, and there have been some airstrikes with tear gas. We know over in Hong Kong there was a major protest with tens of thousands of people protesting for democracy. Again, we're seeing the signs of the times everywhere with nations of the earth in turmoil. And today, what I would like to do on this very first day of January 2020 is go back to where we have been. I talked with Daniel Seckham briefly. He is wishing everybody a very happy new year here in the United States, and said he'll be most certainly joining us next Wednesday, but he was going to opt out today. I guess they had a long, busy day celebrating New Year's in Australia as well. So I'm going to continue on in the book of Revelation, because 2020 is the year of what? Revving things up, right? You could hear the motor just revving, room, room. And so the rev, the tachometer is spiking. It's spiking. So when we talk about revving things up, we're talking about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to a people to be the fuel for our engine or the oil for our lamps, okay? We believe that the book of Revelation is the word of the Lord. That's what I believe. If there was ever a prophetic word for 2020 to give to God's people, the instruction that I hear, get into the book of Revelation and begin to read it with the Holy Spirit teaching you and guiding you. You're going to be equipped. You're going to be downloaded. You're going to get the fuel. You're going to get the juice out of the meat of this great end time prophecy. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm going to stay in the book of Revelation with you, but it is up to you and I to do our own studying and then putting the pieces together what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. So yesterday, we talked about many different aspects of the book of Revelation. And we actually went to chapter 6, and we opened the first seal. because that's where the prophecy begins. As you'll remember, the first five chapters are introductory and there's a lot going on, but no prophecy. So Revelation chapter 6, with the opening of the first seal, prophecy begins. We ask the question, was there anything in the earth that took place in our generation since Israel became a nation back in 1948? From that time forward, has anything happened that would give indication to the opening of the first seal, or that this prophecy would actually begin? Well, what we look at, remember this, you have to remember this, is that Israel was not a nation since 70 AD. Remember, the temple was destroyed, the people were scattered, and for over 1900 years, there was no nation of Israel. However, all Bible prophecy takes place with Israel being a nation, as far as the things that we are discussing. They were a nation gathered together in Egypt during the Egyptian Empire, right? They were a nation when the Assyrians, the second great empire of the earth, Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, Israel was a nation. Then the Medo-Persian Empire, Israel was a nation. The Grecian Empire, Israel was a nation. The Roman Empire, Israel was a nation. So then, with the 70 AD event, Israel is scattered. So there's like a long pause, but then in 1948, we have Israel becoming a nation again. In 1967, Israel is an established nation fighting for the cause of their country. All right, so we know this is true. And so what we do from 1948 is we kind of look back to 70 AD in that gap, and we say, well, whatever was going on there, and there was a lot going on. I mean, the Roman Empire was still taking place. The Ottoman Empire was coming to power. The British Empire was rising. The United States of America was coming forth as a nation itself. So there was a tremendous amount of activity, World War I, World War II, the Inquisitions, the Crusades. You know, all of these events happened in a space when Israel was not a nation, but now Israel is a nation. So we ask the question, when it comes to this prophecy, has anything happened since 1948 forward that would have shook the nations of the earth? The opening of the first seal, did we see a white horse, the rider, and did we see it going forth conquering and to conquer? Well, this is what we talked about yesterday, and my answer to that question was yes, there was a global shaking while Israel was a nation on 9/11/2001. And as you will see here in just a little bit, that when the white horse, now what are horses? Horses in Bible prophecy, according to Zechariah chapter 10, are people groups. He said in Zechariah chapter 10, again, if you'll recall, and this is really important, by the way, to get this underlined in your Bible, in Zechariah chapter 10, 3, 5, 6, 7, when you get into those verses, we're told that Judah was chosen by the Lord to be his goodly horse for the battle. So here we have an identification of a horse to be a people group that the Lord would ride, Jesus would ride, okay? The Lord God would ride this white horse, a people group called Judah, into battle. And then in the same verses of Zechariah chapter 10, as you keep reading past verse 5, it says that the Lord will go forth with his goodly horse into the battle. They'll tread them down as mire in the streets. And it says, and the horses or the riders on horses, plural, shall be confounded. So when the Lord rides his horse into the battle, the riders on horses shall be confounded. That is a very powerful message, and it's something we should really wrap our hands around and our minds around in Zechariah chapter 10, because that tells us in Revelation chapter 6, with these first four horses, better known as the four horses of the apocalypse, with the riding of the release of these four horses, they don't just stop riding after one event. They continue to ride to the very end, or when the Lord mounts his horse in Revelation 19, that's when the horses and the riders on the horses will be confounded when he comes to take his horse and go into battle. So who is Judah? Well, it represents the 144,000. It represents the overcomers. If Judah is a people group that the Lord identified as his horse for the battle, well, then the 144,000, the remnant, the overcomers in the book of Revelation absolutely connect with that idea. So the Lord is going to ride his horse, the 144,000 overcomers, the remnant, okay, into battle in Revelation 19. So we're looking at people groups. And we saw that Al-Qaeda, the first group of out of Islam that was presented to the world, took place on 9/11/2001, when the Twin Towers were attacked, and when Pennsylvania airplane fell down, when the Pentagon was attacked, when Al-Qaeda was exposed, or they brought it forth, meaning the base or the foundation. And then we read yesterday that the rider on this horse had a bow. We saw that as toxin, which is the fabric, which represents the Quran. Okay. And then we saw that the bow also represents a weapon. And that was the ticto. And we also knew that this bow actually refers to the beginning of sorrows, or the first of the birth pangs. So the book of Revelation chapter 6 actually connects beautifully with Matthew chapter 24. When Jesus in Matthew 24 verses 4 to 8 told us everything that was going to be coming in the end times, well, Matthew 24 verses 4 to 8 and Revelation chapter 6 fit hand in glove. In fact, we know Jesus said in verse 8 of Matthew 24 that these are the beginning of sorrows, and the beginning of sorrows represents a woman in travail. And then in Revelation chapter 6, the word toxin and ticto actually refer to producing or to bringing forth like a woman in travail. So the opening of the first seal is the opening or the beginning of the bringing forth of the travail of nations upon the face of the earth. Did anything happen since Israel was a nation? 9/11 happened. 9/11 shook the world. It changed the world. The Patriot Act in the United States, where the invasiveness of our privacy was underway. Airports shut down. The economy was affected. All over the world, things began to happen. And we read yesterday that in the White Horse, and its rider, again, who's riding the white horse? Well, if Al-Qaeda is the people group, the white horse that begins everything, well, the rider is none other than Allah or Muhammad, those who wrote on the fabric of the Quran that inspired the horse. You know, when Jesus rides his horse, the rider directs the people. And so the director of the people of Islam, or the people of the group of Al-Qaeda as we know it, the mind of Allah, the mind of Muhammad, the mind of the Quran inspires them. It directs them. It moves them. So the horse is just being ridden by a rider. So as we begin to unfold these things, on 9/11/2001, there was an earth-shaking event that changed the world, undeniably. Even to this day, we know that things have been created and changed since the 9/11 event, while Israel was a nation. So now I want to proceed, and I believe today this is going to be marvelous. I really do believe that we're about to embark on some marvelous things. The first thing we saw in Revelation chapter 6, in the beginning of the prophecy, and if we're correct on the September 9/11/2001 event, and that was the beginning or the first pang of this prophecy, then what followed? Well, what we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 says this: "And when he had opened the second seal," and what does the word seal mean again? It literally boils down to beyond the signet and ownership and all that. It boils down to understanding. So the illumination, the lights begin to shine, the prophecy's opening, the first light is dawning. So now we come to the second seal. "And when it was opened, he heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.'" Verse 4, "There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. All right, let's look at it. After the 9/11 event, what was one of the first things that we saw from President Bush? He came to the pulpit of the world. You could find this on video anywhere. You could hear the speech. And he basically identified the axis of evil. And he named four. Isn't that interesting? He named four particular countries known as the axis of evil. Very interesting. And then he said this amazing word. He said, "You're either with us," referring to democracy, the West, the United States, "or you're with them." This is very important to understand that this division was made. Sides were taken. You're either with us or you're with them. And I'll show you why that's so important in just a little bit. However, we asked the question, after 9/11-2001, did we see any war? Did we see any revolutionary war? Well, because when they are said to kill one another, you're talking about an internal fighting. And this rider on the red horse of war, is given a great sword. When we do a little bit of study about the sword of Islam, it becomes obvious that that is what is being referred to. But here's the amazing thing, that after 9/11-2001, in the context of the beginning of sorrows and wars and rumors of wars, Matthew chapter 24 again, that there was what was known as the Arab Spring. And throughout the entirety of the Middle East, we saw revolutionary war in one country after another. And we saw this upheaval taking place in all different places throughout the Middle East. They had bloody wars going on, and it was an intense Arab Spring reformation going on. Now, remember that when these horses leave the gate, like the white horse of Al-Qaeda that on 9/11, that's not the end of their journey. Remember, he goes forth conquering and to conquer. So it's an ongoing event until Revelation 19, when the Lord returns on his horse to do battle and the riders on horses are confounded. So now we have Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. We have this red horse of war. And again, we've seen war. We've seen it. The color red is very interesting because really some people have thought about the communistic ideology of the red. But then people said, well, we have the red and the blue states here in America. The Republicans are red and the Democrats are blue. So what I do know is that the red is complementary to the white, because remember, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the green horse, those are the four colors of Islam today. That throughout the Middle East, every flag, you're going to see those colors: red, white, black, and green. So here the red horse represents war. Now, we've seen war since 9/11-2001. It followed the white horse. Then what happens? When you get to Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, we read about the third horse. Now, the revolutionary wars and the wars are never going to end. We have a rumor of war right now. I mean, North Korea is telling us that they are going to send us a Christmas present. The president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, last night said he hopes he sends a vase or a vase because he would prefer that to anything else. So we'll see where it goes. We do know the U.S. Embassy is under attack in the Middle East, in Iraq. They're putting their target on Iran. There's a lot moving right now in the Middle East again. Groups that we once heard about, like Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever you want to call them, there's activity moving, and we get to verse 5. So Revelation 6, 5, "When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse." Again, first the white, then the red, then the black, the predominant colors of the Middle East, of Islam particularly. "So he saw a black horse, and he that sat on him." So again, there's a rider on these horses. The rider on the white horse influencing the people group, the rider on the red horse, you know, the sword of Islam in the Quran, bringing the people to make war with all the people on the earth. Remember something about Ishmael, by the way, is that he's a wild man. His hand is against every man. Every man's hand is against him. So now we have the black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, at this moment, I want to refer to a little commentary that I found in my Bible. I thought this was very refreshing. And I want to read to you just a little bit of commentary on Revelation chapter 6. And here's what it says. I was just looking at this and marking it out. This is the first, this is commentary on Revelation chapter 6. This is the first of three seven-part judgments, okay? As each seal is broken, Christ the Lamb sets in motion events that will bring about the end of human history. That's what's going on with the opening of these seals. That's what happened on 9/11/2001. If we're correct, it was what again? Each seal is broken. Christ the Lamb sets in motion events that will bring about the end of human history. This scroll is not completely opened until the seventh seal, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But here's the deal. The contents of the scroll reveal mankind's depravity and portray God's authority over the events of human history. Four horses appear as the first four seals are broken. The horses represent God's judgment of people's sin and rebellion. God is directing human history, even using his enemies to accomplish his purposes. The four horses are a foretaste of the final judgments yet to come. Well, this is all very true, that God is sovereign. The book of Revelation is owned by the Lord. And if God could use the Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the world in the days of the birthing of Christ, to force a taxation to get Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem, we know God is in control, okay? So some view, and this is important, this chapter as a parallel to the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, and I certainly do. I believe it's absolutely correct. And now a little bit more commentary, and we read this. Each of the four horses is different in color. Some assume the white horse represents victory and that its rider must be Christ. We talked about that yesterday. But Christ later, because Christ later rides to victory on a white horse in Revelation 19:11. But since the other three horses relate to judgment and destruction, this rider on a white horse would most likely not be Christ. The four are part of the unfolding judgment of God, and it would be premature for Christ to ride forth as conqueror. The other colored horses represent different kinds of judgment. Red for warfare and bloodshed, black for famine and death, and pale for disease and wild animal attacks. The high prices of wheat and barley illustrate famine conditions, but the worst is yet to come. All right, so I just wanted to show you that while we're studying, that we're getting complementary understanding to somewhat validate what we're saying in these books. Now, we're talking about the black horse, and what was that horse? He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Verse 6 says, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So this is, many have said it, and I believe it's true, referring to famine conditions and economic collapse. So we go back and we ask ourselves, well, since 9/11/2001, have there been any pestilences or famines? Have there been any economic upheavals? Have there been any collapses in the economy? Well, one only needs to go to 2008 and remember what happened in the United States of America alone when the housing market collapsed. and millions of people lost everything they had right here just in the United States. Then we've seen turmoil in the markets around the world. But most importantly, again, we saw famine conditions throughout the world, particularly in the Middle East, as another people group were riding. And we're going to talk about them in just a moment. So again, we see the rider on the black horse bringing famine and economic imbalance to the nations of the earth. Now, these horses, the first three, the white, the red, and the black, they left the gate. They will continue to ride until the very end, until the rider on the white horse, Jesus Christ, confronts the riders on horses and confounds them. The next horse, this is the one I really wanted to get to today, and I want to show you the biblicity of this, is awesome. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Now that word pale, and I'm going to give you the absolute definition of this, okay? It is the word chloros. And the word chloros actually means green, okay? It's greenish, verdant, dun-colored. That is the word for pale. Now, when he opens the fourth seal, he said in verse 8, I looked and behold a green horse, greenish horse. There's the fourth of those colors. And his name that sat on him was death and hell, followed him with him. Power was given unto them, hell and death, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. So this fourth horse, this rider, the green horse and its rider, are given power over one quarter of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, famine, with death, and with the beast of the earth. So who is the rider? Well, he that sat on him had a name, and his name was death, and hell followed. Where do we find that? I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15. This is Isaiah the prophet speaking to the children of Israel who were ready to be invaded, and rather than trusting God, they fled to the arm of flesh. That's the background of what we're reading. So the prophet Isaiah speaks out of Isaiah 28, 15 and says this, because you, Israel, the people of God, have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. So here in verse 15, there's some kind of an agreement. There's some kind of a covenant that Israel makes with hell and death. Well, we're going to find out who hell and death are here in just a moment. Look at verse 18, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge, which was the Assyrian invasion, shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. So Israel was making a covenant with Egypt and other foreign powers to help them against the Assyrian invasion. God was saying, your agreement, your covenant with these people groups is like making a covenant with hell and death, but it's not going to save you. So hell and death represent nations. Israel, Babylon, go on down the list, Syria. Whenever Israel's trying to make a covenant. Now, is there something in Bible prophecy about in the end times a covenant being made with Israel within a people group within the Middle East? Well, to look at that, let's go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, it says this, after and 2 weeks, that's 62 weeks. This is an end time prophecy. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince, that's the Antichrist, that shall come shall destroy the city. So the people of the prince of the Antichrist, okay, the Gentiles, this is going to connect with Revelation 11. The people of the prince, the Antichrist, that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, going back to what we just read in Isaiah, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm, in verse 27, the covenant with many for 1 week. Some people say that's your seven-year covenant that is to be made for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years down the road, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, which would be the final 3.5 years of the great tribulation as we understand it. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So what are we talking about? Revelation chapter 6 is telling us the story of a prophecy. It's when the prophecy begins. And when the prophecy begins, it begins with a white horse and a rider. Something happens while Israel is a nation to begin to give the first pangs. Following the white horse comes revolutionary war, or war. Great sword, war. We've seen it since 9/11/2001 in different places around the world. Remember, this is not just localized to Israel. The prophecy involves everything in the created universe. That's why I told you that yesterday. Then we see that the result of war brings famine and economic imbalance. We've seen that in a measure here and there, somewhere in the world. You say, well, this has always been. Well, wait a second. We're talking about things coming from the Middle East. We're talking about an end time prophecy. And just because some minor event may have happened, like the Arab Spring, which a lot of people say was not minor, but it's not over. We're going to see these things until the very end, but these are not the final judgments. Then we see in the green horse, which I believe happened to be ISIS. My personal opinion is that ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever you want to call it, was the fourth horse, another people group with a mind to start chopping people's heads off, setting people on fire, burning villages. They formed and grew immediately, and they're not going to disappear. All these people groups from within the nation of Islam in the Middle East, having the four colors representing their nations, they're not going to go away. We've just begun to see the beginning of sorrows. My personal understanding is that the first four horses, or the first seals that opened up this prophecy, are what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 8, the beginning of sorrows. Now, something else to consider, okay? And I believe we are going to see a covenant and an agreement. I think things are going to get really hot in the Middle East. We'll see where it goes, and God's prophecy will prevail. I believe that we have seen the prophecy begin. Now, I could be wrong. There's no doubt about that. But right now, there's nothing that deters me from believing that there was a particular event that actually opened up the book, the prophecy. And that event was 9/11, as I've said several times now. We've seen the succession. We've watched everything move fast forward. There were also connected great earthquakes. There were fires. There were hurricanes. The Bahamas were wiped out. Tornadoes were everywhere. I mean, volcanoes were erupting in Hawaii in different places. The earth is shaking. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, not only would there be wars and rumors of wars with the release of this Islamic reality, Ishmael, the wild man, but accompanying all that political and governmental stuff, you would have famine and pestilence, and you would have earthquakes in diverse places and all these natural disasters. And you go back to 9/11, 2001, And you look, we live in a nation where people are shooting one another. We just saw the stabbing over in New York at the on Hanukkah, and we just saw another shooting over in Texas in a church. And earlier we saw 26 people shot in a Baptist church in Texas, 17 kids, Parkland, Florida, 58 people at a concert in Las Vegas. And we go on and on and on and on and on. It has never ended. You talk about a woman in travail. You talk about the beginning of sorrows. Since 9/11/2001, our nation has been in nothing but sorrows, including Katrina. And we could go on down the list of the major events that have happened with the massive three massive hurricanes back to back that took out so much. I mean, we've seen it. It hasn't stopped. And on top of that, we saw the blood red moons, the solar eclipses, the constellations in the sky. I mean, we have seen everything that the Bible says. You'd have to be pretty dumbed down not to get it, right? Well, I believe we're in it right now. And I believe 2020 is the year that the fabric or the seam that has been holding the fabric of our society together, the seams, are going to be ripped in shreds. I believe that. I believe that what we just saw at the end of 2019 in the impeachment deal going on, that they were consternating, they were pulling apart this nation. You were taking a side, you were taking the left or you were taking the right, taking CNN or taking Fox News. The people in the middle need to understand where they're going to be at this time, but the fabric is being pulled apart, the seams have been stretched. 2020 is the ripping. You're going to see it tear. The fabric of our society, the seams that have held us together, are gone. 2020, they're gone. That's what I believe God is showing us. But there's some interesting things to say about that. And I believe what we're going to see is the next wave of judgments are going to hit the face of the earth. And I believe 2020 is a time for this to shift. But I did want to mention this. What about the fifth seal? Well, let's look at the fifth seal for just a moment. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice. Now, what is he seeing? The fifth seal opens, understanding opens, right? This is getting clearer and clearer of what's going on in the world around us. But here we find something very interesting. I saw souls under the altar, them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So John sees in the spirit those who died for their faith in Christ. Verse 10 says, they cried, these souls under the altar, with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So these people were killed by people groups on the earth. They're crying out for justice. Verse 11, white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. What do you have here? Well, evidence number one that when you die, there's still people that are wide awake, crying out for justice. They're aware. They know what's going on. These people were killed for their faith in Christ. John saw the multitudes of the martyrs. He saw them. But they're told to wait until their brother are going to die the same way they did. So it would mean that in this end time prophecy, in the last days, there would be more martyrs. And in the last 100 years, we have had more martyrs for their faith in Christ combined with the last 1900 years. The last century was an uptick that there were more martyrs killed in the last century than in the 1900 or the 19 centuries before them. 2020, and then we start seeing beheadings and all kinds of cruel death, ancient, you know, outdated, antiquated kind of death happening around the world. 2020 is going to bring this. So there's going to be more people dying as martyrs. That's what the fifth seal is all about. My point, evidence. The first five seals of the book of Revelation have opened. But what about this one? And you know where I'm going. You know this is true. There's never been any evidence for the sixth seal. Will 2020 be the moment that the sixth seal will actually open. Well, it's been written 2,000 years, but all these other events had to take place leading up to this sixth seal. We now have evidence of the first five seals since 9/11/2001 have been ongoing. They've been here. Matthew 24:4-8, it's been before our very eyes. But what about this? And this is the part that I'm going to close in on, because something happened when we talk about the fabric of our society being held by seams, and the seams are going to be torn apart and the fabric is just going to fade away and there's nothing going to be there. What comes to your mind? Well, what came to my mind was the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We were told when he died that the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and it was huge. And nobody could have gone up there and tore it with their hands. The veil was rent, okay? And that veil represented a wall, if you will, that nobody had access into the Holy of Holies, okay? Or into the holy place. The veil was preventing people from accessing. That veil was thick. It was huge in the temple. And yet the day that Jesus died, that veil was rent in two. It was divided. It was broken. Okay, what happens immediately after that in Matthew 27:51-52 is there's a massive earthquake. So first there's a tearing of the veil, then there is a massive earthquake, then there is a resurrection of the dead. It's in your Bible, Matthew 27:51-52. When Jesus died, yep, the veil was rent, a great earthquake, the rocks rent, and the people rose from the dead. Do we have a type and shadow here? Well, as the fabric of our society begins to tear, we also remember a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 25 about a covering cast, a veil over the nations of the earth that God swore he was going to destroy, the covering cast. A networking, a needleworking of woven networking, sounds like internet. Sounds like mind control. Sounds like there's a covering cast over the nations of the earth that God swore on the behalf of his people, he was going to tear it to shreds. And believe it or not, when Jesus died on the cross and that temple was rent from top to bottom, when that temple, that veil was rent, that veil was divided, that veil was broken, that was on the behalf of God's people too. Because that was a preventing of the people of God accessing the Holy of Holies. But we know that that event worked for the good of God's people, and so did the earthquake that rent the rocks that brought about the resurrection of the saints of God. Hallelujah. I believe that even though the veil is being rent, the fabric of our society, the seams being bursting, that on behalf of God's people, this is not a bad thing. This is a very good thing. And what happens in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12? Well, how does it begin? I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, we're prophesying the tearing of the veil, 2020. We know that the great earthquake followed that, and so the sixth seal begins with, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. That's a major event, and you're going to see that event in Revelation chapter 8 in the first four trumpets. You're going to see what was just said. But here in the sixth seal, what is happening? The heavens departed as a scroll. So there's a vacuum. Something happens in the heavens when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What kinds of weapons of mass destruction create space in heavenly realms? What is it that would cause every mountain and island to be moved out of their places? Well, this great earthquake seems to have something to do with it. It's such a powerful earthquake. Is it symbolic? Are the mountains representing empire nations in the last days like America, Russia, China? and the islands representing the smaller nations being shaken out of their places. What, you know, is it symbolic? Maybe. Is it literal? Well, time will tell. But it does say in verse 15, when this earthquake happens and this shaking happens in the heavens and upon the earth, that the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. This is a major event. And now all the world rulers are hiding, right? And so are the people that are bondmen and freemen. So people are just, this is a massive event. You could imagine what people do on 9/11s or massive earthquakes or tornadoes. I mean, it's intense. Verse 16, these people say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. How do the people of the world know? How do the rich men, the captains, the mighty men, the chief men of the earth, how do they know that it's the wrath of the Lamb that is causing this great global shaking? Well, they continue and they say, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? How is it that these people that are fleeing for their lives, calling for the rocks to hide them from the, how do they know it's the Lamb? You know, people today are fighting against Jesus Christ in our society and around the world. They're doing everything in their power to destroy him out of the face of the earth and his followers. You know that. That's why the persecution will be real when it comes. It'll be Nazi Germany on steroids against the Jews. But it's coming against those who have their testimony in Jesus Christ. We know that. But what happens here is really phenomenal, because the Lord Jesus makes an appearing, not his final second coming. We're not talking about the Lord on his white horse coming to make war with the nations. No, no, no. We're not talking about that. We're not even talking about the coming where he sends his angels and his people go up after the great tribulation. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about an appearing, a parousia, an erchomai, right? We're talking about an appearing of the Lord, like he appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And he appeared and he spoke to him and knocked him off his horse. The Lord has been making appearings throughout the history of the church age. I believe 2020 is going to afford an appearing of the Lord in wrath, in a great shaking. Because what's happening? The nations of the earth, the horsemen of the apocalypse have gone on. People are being persecuted. They're dying for their faith. And all of a sudden, through artificial intelligence, which you're going to see in 2020, I told you about that. You're going to see unveiled technology like you've never seen before. And technology through artificial intelligence is bringing people away from God, not to God. You're going to see men worshiping the works of their hands like you've never seen before. You're going to see Russia boasting supersonic weapons going 27 times the speed of sound. You're going to see these all these things, from weapons to technology, is going to be unveiled. The curtain's going to be brought. Man is going to get into his time of worship. But at the same time, the Lord is going to come and say, wait a second, I'm still in control. And I'm going to make an appearing. And that veil between heaven and earth is going to be rent. And my face is going to shine through. And all you people of the world that are blaspheming me, warring against me, you Luciferian satanic priesthood that is putting mind-bending spells on the masses, and you devil that is deceiving the whole world, I'm going to step in at this particular moment, and I'm going to reveal my wrath by shaking everything. And you're going to hide, and you're going to know for a brief moment who you already know you're dealing in blasphemy and warring against God, but you're going to know some things like you've never known before. Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that we are that close to an appearing of the Lord? And when it happens, will you understand it? That's the key. This is why God wants you to read the book of Revelation. Because times are revving up, room, room, they're revving up. Revelation is amping up. And God is giving this revelation prophecy to you as a vanguard to go before you, so that when events happen, you'll have the wisdom, the understanding to recognize what's going on. I know it takes a lot of conversation to get where we are right now, but I think you're beginning to see it. I trust the anointing and the Holy Spirit are affording some things. So all I'm saying, no, we're not putting any dates on anything, but if there's a word for 2020 in the realm of instruction to reveal to God's people what's coming, what better book than the book of Revelation, which is an end time prophecy that foretells what is coming? Do you see it? Do you get it? I hope so. With all of my heart, I hope so. And I'm going to stop right there for right now. And I want to go to our studio and I want to see if there's anybody out there that wants to call in and have a little conversation with me. I've got about 10 minutes left in this broadcast, and then I'll be heading over to KERM Radio. And by the way, we, as you know, we don't do a lot of this, but I would like to invite our listeners to support this radio program. It is January 1st. An offering, a beautiful offering, would be outrageously wonderful. If you're interested in doing so, there's ways you could contact us. But before I go any further, let's go ahead and take our first call coming in from our dear friends in South Dakota. God bless you. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, good. As I was listening to you teach in the book of Revelation in 6, and you talked about the black horse, which is the famine. Now, I don't know if people are aware of this or not, but in our area, we live in an area which is very rural, and it's agriculture and ranching. And in the Midwest this year, there was 14 million acres of land that could not be tilled or gotten into due to weather conditions. And in South Dakota alone, 4 million acres was not done. And we have been talking to various farmers, and they said, they don't, with the spring now coming in the days ahead, they don't think they can even get in the fields again because there is so much moisture, they cannot, their tractors are sinking, and this is the beginning of a shortage of food because America is the breadbasket.
Wow, thank you so much for reminding me that in Nebraska, the floods that came in and killed over 1 million head of cattle and everything else you're talking about, boy, that's just another confirmation. Well done, Kathy. Thank you for that. God bless you. And Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, thank you. We have 18 inches of snow here.
Wow. And yet in the midst of this famine, in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, God's going to protect his people. He's going to provide for his people. There's no doubt about that. If we're tuned in and we're walking close to the heart of God, we will not have to worry unless we're the martyrs in this end time. Thank you, Kathy, for sharing that. God bless you. All right. And so 18 inches of snow in South Dakota. Let's take our next call coming in right now from our brother Bill, who's on the road. Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. Happy New Year. The white horse you were talking about earlier, and you made a comment about 2008, you know, the financial collapse and all that. Just recently, here in the last couple of days, two of the largest hedge funds have told their customers you cannot get any money out of your accounts. They have blocked their accounts. And these are two of the largest hedge funds in the world. So you know, people are starting to be have their money withheld from them. That's something to think about.
Yeah, and what happens when that happens? What happens when people don't get their money or they go to the bank and they're online and the machines aren't working or they're just not getting their money? Normally people get a little angry about that, don't they?
They get a little uptight and, you know, when they start... when they start pounding on the doors, and then they got to call the cops and say, hey, back off, there's nothing we can do. You know, but the people at the top are still getting paid. It can be a little unnerving, I would say.
Yeah, I would think so. And so you're probably considering the possibility that people should not put their trust in the banks. And I think that's probably a very wise thing, not to trust the banks. And by the way, you know, there's a lot of, you know, this is New Year and this is the time of gaiety and happiness and prophecies and, you know, resolutions and on and on and on. But when I hear people like Don Lemon, who is an outspoken homosexual from CNN News standing and saying 2020 is going to be the best year. And here's what we're going to do. He said, I can't wait to get rid of the bigots, the racists, the homophobes. So Don Lemon's idea of a good time, which represents a lot of people's, is getting rid of the homophobes, getting rid of the Islamophobes, getting rid of the bigots, getting rid of the white supremacists, the racists. Don't you find that a little odd?
Not with Don Lemon, I don't, because his boyfriend or his husband's a white guy, and he wants to get rid of the white supremacists and how all white men need to be taught to heal, but yet his lover, his husband or his wife, whatever it is a white man. So, yeah, I just it's irony is what it is, Pastor, and the hate that comes out of their mouth. If you or I were to say anything like that regarding the former president that we had in office, we would be the ones that were the haters. But yet they can say it, and we're still the haters. So, you know, it's like the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, it's insane. It's hypocrisy, but it's part of the delusion. All right, excellent call, Brother Bill. We appreciate you so much. Happy New Year to you. We're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Let's hear from you. We just heard some really excellent calls reminding us that there were floods and things that created all kinds of economic problems and talking about food shortages and these types of things. And not only here in America, but around the world. In Australia, they had that horrible drought. And so what is it for 2020? Which way is it going to go? Is it going to be the good old days, the best of times? Or should you be preparing for the great exodus into the wilderness? What are you thinking about in these times? Are there other signs we need to be looking for? Well, when we come back together tomorrow, I will go and continue on in the book of Revelation and show you an orderly unfolding of events that we could expect to happen. I told you today that I believe that the first five seals of the book of Revelation have already been opened. And now we are sitting and in the pause. There's pauses because time is different than what we understand it in the economy of God. The sixth seal, that's a changer. That's a big one. Something of an appearing of Yeshua that the nations of the earth, the world rulers, know and understand that this is a moment of his wrath when the earth shakes and the heavenly bodies are shaken as well. And then when we move into tomorrow, you're going to see that that seal is talking about the first four trumpet blasts in Revelation chapter 8. But there's a pause in chapter 7, and I want to talk with you about that also tomorrow. So again, we've got a couple of minutes. If you have any questions or comments, something you heard, something you'd like to add to the broadcast, give me a shout real quick. We'll talk about it. 818-369-0326. If not, I'll take this minute to just remind you, please pray for me. I'm going on to KIRM Radio, which is an AM/FM radio station here in Northwest Arkansas. And today's the first day, and we have somewhat of a heavy load that we've got to pay today. And if you would like to bless this ministry, we certainly would appreciate it. Let's take this call coming in from 479-366. Good morning, guys.
Good.
To the broadcast.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Real quick, the terminology that those that choose to live a lifestyle of homosexuality, lesbianism, and so on, it is absolutely disgraceful. And before a holy God, the one that you've chosen to join yourself to is not, before a holy and just God, not your husband, not your wife, not in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of a holy God. That is someone you've joined yourself to. And Bill mentioned, you know, it, and he is correct in that. It's an it. It's demonic. It's demonic to the core, but there's hope. Jesus Christ, there's hope, deliverance, there's hope. So But it's absolutely disgraceful and to not to call the person that you've joined yourself to your husband or wife. That it's just absolutely disgraceful. And so I just wanted to thank you for letting me voice that.
Right. Again, tell me how you really feel, right? I get it, and I understand your passion there. I'm going to go over just a little bit. We've got another call coming in, and I'm going to take it from 605-695. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Earlier, Vincent, you were discussing as far as the weather and as far as flooding and that here in the United States. And a lot of people, I don't think, in the United States really pay much attention to what's going on worldwide. And right now, Australia is burning, and they've been burning for some time. I can't remember how many acres and that. But God cannot put up with what's going on in this world or this country much longer because, I mean, it's been going on, and it's getting stronger and stronger every day.
Well, amen to that. It is true. And that is that's what we're trying to awaken to. And we're not just peddling fear, as you know, people always say that kind of stuff. We're looking at a prophecy that's foretelling us these things that are coming down the pike. And you're right. It's the whole world at the same time somewhere. And in the last days, they will say, well, that's what they've been saying from the beginning of time. They're called the scoffers and the mockers, but they're not recognizing this prophecy is our vanguard. This prophecy is our vanguard. Brother Ken, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and Kathy. God bless you. Thanks for being such dear friends. We love you and appreciate you. And we're going to have to let it go here for today because we are out of time. And I did want to share this date with you. The real New Year's in the Hebrew calendar is going to be on, let me see, I've got it right here for us. It's going to be March 26th. March 26th, 2020, will be Nisan 1. That is going to be the real 5780. And man, I believe right around March 26th, March, April, get ready because 14 days later is Passover. That's when they came out of Egypt, went into the wilderness. We'll talk more about that. Got to go for right now. Shalom, everybody. Remember, on omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion happening right now. Until tomorrow, shalom and God bless.